Good morning. It's a Thursday. It's the first Thursday of June. You know what that means.
Yes, I do.
Mr. Hansel and Mr. Papstein get together.
Yes.
Shoot the breeze.
Absolutely. Welcome to June.
Yeah, no kidding. You ready for the ball game tonight?
I am. It's going to be interesting. The Warriors seem to be hitting on all cylinders right now. We're going to see if they can't carry that in to the finals.
And Warriors in five.
Warriors in five, that's brave.
I don't think they're going to sweep.
No.
But I don't think it's going to go six.
Yeah, I'm glad they got a home court advantage. But yeah, it's going to be tough. Celtics are tough. And then you just never know. We want all the...
There's the wild card.
The Warriors to show up, you know?
Yeah.
And the long ball to...
And
to
no injury.
Yes. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. Look forward to watching it tonight.
I was talking to a buddy, and he said the nosebleeds are going for $800 a throw.
I believe it.
It's like, you know, it would be cool to go to one. I mean, like, it'd be like going to the World Series, right?
Right.
I just can't stomach the concept of going to San Francisco, though.
Yes.
You know, with all the homeless stuff. I'd love what Barkley was saying.
Right.
You're three blocks away, and you're in the middle of third world nation. So... Clean up your city.
Oh, yeah. It is
I guess
getting bad.
It's blowback, but...
Yeah, it is getting bad down there. And as we've seen the deterioration over the last 5 years, it's just getting worse. And for a city that depends on tourism and businesses that come in there...
Oh, conventions and art.
Absolutely. Such a beautiful city. There's so much to offer there. Well, yeah. There's still a lot to offer. But everything, the drugs, the homelessness, all the misdemeanor crimes that aren't being enforced down there, public intoxication, public urination.
Is the DA up for election?
So he's being recalled. That's his deal
right
now.
So he's a recall. And the mayor?
I'm not sure about the mayor, but...
And she doesn't seem to be doing anything other than...
Well, she at least, called out the DA for not doing his job, which is kind of nice.
After 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Wahoo.
Well, he's only been there, I think, for two.
Really?
Yeah. So there, I think he's in the off election.
This started before.
Yeah. Yes, it did. But he just continued to carry it on, and then just making these statements about he's not going to prosecute these low lying offenses, these victimless crimes, public urination, prostitution, drug dealing, drug use, and you see what happens. When there's no accountability that way, you
kind
see
of let
a city
you know
deteriorate.
The critical nature of a DA.
Right. Absolutely. So we're hoping that a lot of elections around the county and state kind of. Go towards that law and order.
Go in that direction. Yeah. You ready for our Why Do We Say It?
Yes, I am.
Field day. Why do we say a field day? Someone is having a field day.
So
let's not go back to your elementary school.
No, I'm just saying yes. I'm thinking a field day was great time out of the classroom. Anytime out of the office is a field day for me.
Okay, well, yeah, out in the field.
Yes.
Lost.
Hopefully not lost, but... Yeah.
Once in a while, everyone ought to enjoy a field day. It makes little or no difference what goings on are involved. Romping around and having things pretty much as you want them is a special kind of self-rewarding activity. That is what members of fraternities, sororities, and civic clubs discovered long ago. Instead of sticking strictly to routine, many groups of this nature announced that 2 weeks from Saturday... Every member would spend the day outdoors. Rivals were challenged to set the day aside also in order to compete in games and in sports. Canny leaders often arranged things so that it would be difficult or impossible for a really tough set of opponents to be on hand at the time selected. This meant that the sponsors could cavort around during the field day, have things their own way, and gloating at winning easy victories.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm instituting the field day.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have it next Tuesday, don't you?
Well, we hope so.
I mean, even if a campaign was mounted for write-ins,
right,
there'd probably be 25 or 30 different names that would be there, and you'd probably still have a shot.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping I get 50% plus one. Yeah. We'll see what happens. You know, people vote.
Is it uncommon for sheriffs to run unopposed?
I think throughout the state, I think we have about half the sheriffs that are running unopposed. And,
is everybody up at the same time, or is
everyone except San Francisco? So San Francisco is the presidential election year. So they're two years off. I don't know. Their DA and their sheriff is up for that. But they try to change the law this year to change the sheriffs and the DAs to go to the presidential election year. And I feel like they, you know, they get higher
turnout,
higher voter turnout. But what we keep saying is this is a time to vote on, you know, to pay attention to local elections. In those presidential years, everyone just looks at national elections, and the local elections kind of get washed out. People don't really pay attention to those. So,
did you feel very confident in your voting for lieutenant governor?
Who?
Yeah. I know. Looking down the list, it's like, holy Toledo.
I'm not even sure what that job is or does, you know. I mean, it's just, what does lieutenant governor do?
Well, in the past, it became governor.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yes.
So that at least is something.
Right. But you just don't hear about
lieutenant
governor.
Or superintendent of schools.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody's kind of.
Yeah. There's a big field, right?
Yeah.
There's a big field.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of what my takeaway was this time, is that there were a lot of people running for the same office, and a lot of them from the same political.
Right. Bet. Right.
So yeah. It doesn't seem like it's the same as what we traditionally anticipate.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens Tuesday. We'll see what the voter turnout looks like.
Do you guys bring the ballots? Do you drive the ballot boxes in like the old days?
The sheriff's office does. Outlying areas, we do that. Make sure that the boxes are secure. They're locked. We don't have the key to those, and we transport them to, you know, the elections office.
Can't hold them up against the window and the light and see who voted for what?
Yeah. It is a locked box that contains the ballots, and so we have a team that is assigned to go and bring those ballots back to the elections office.
Now, are they officers or are they volunteers?
They are deputy sheriffs.
Okay.
Yes.
I suppose that's probably...
We are trustworthy enough to handle that task. So.
But they don't have the computer things out in the... hinterlands, and they just scan them all in there, and then you bring the ballots in.
That's above my pay grade. I'm not sure what they do. It's just a lockbox, and we transport it to elections.
It
that's
it.
That's all. Now,
there are a lot less places this time around, though, aren't there?
Yes,
polling
I think
stations?
Yes. Yeah, there are less, but then we get it stretch out. You know, polling.
All you need is one at the end of each one, and it's the same mileage for your guys.
Right. Yeah. True.
Maybe less donut stops.
Hey. What the heck? Donut reference so early?
All right. How about pie?
Coffee.
Pie.
Coffee stops.
Yeah.
That's what we do now.
No. That's after you have the coffee, you make the stop. You got
okay.
It backwards again.
Gotcha.
It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff and Sheriff-to-be Billy Hansel. The old days, you know, you used to have parties, election night parties, and you'd see the results coming in, and you'd wait for the updates, and cheer, rah, rah, and, you know, talk to the pesky media.
Right.
Or come out here and have sandwiches.
Right.
A lot of that stuff has disappeared with the electronic. I don't know what I heard one of the shows this morning, and it was like, you know, yeah, we're losing some of the culture of what we have been and what we're doing. Everything instantaneous, and it's a lot less, I guess, less emotional, less exciting, less. Are you going to have a party? Or are you guys going to go out and just grab a pizza and say, okay, job well done? Can I have another slice?
Right. I was just asking some people the other day about that, just wondering, because some of these contested races, wondering, is there going to be election night watch parties? And I have not heard yet. And exactly right. You know, running an election is very exhausting, right? If this is the end of the race for some people. Some people are going to have to carry over into November and November election, and if they don't get 50% plus one. But if this is the finish line, you know, you want to celebrate that no matter what. And, you know, it can, like I said, it can be very, very exhausting. But this is your time to gather with your people.
You probably don't want to pull a Pelosi, though.
No. No.
Wouldn't that be probably the worst case scenario for embarrassment?
Yes.
A sheriff being reelected, getting pulled over for DUI election
night. Oh, my gosh. Yes, no. That's why people stay home.
Stay with the bubbly, babe.
Yes, right.
Yeah, water.
Stay home.
Not champagne.
Yes. No, yeah, you should just hold off on that.
Oh,
so,
that would be.
Yes.
Oh.
That wouldn't be good. But yeah, so that's something. I had, you know, 4 years ago, I had my election night party, and it was a celebration, essentially, because I was running unopposed back then, and just having family and friends and supporters there gathering, talking about what the next 4 years would bring, and just
Dad
thanking
was,
people.
Dad wasn't sharing stories and mom
he,
and
I just,
growing up?
I put a muzzle on the old man, you know. Give him a mic, and absolutely, he will share lots of stories, for sure.
Well, maybe you have to bring him in next month.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, Brian. He comes from a generation that's, you know, law enforcement was a lot different. And but yes, he's still.
That
he still
would be
tells,
interesting, I think, for a lot of us, because you know your dad was and city versus county. I mean,
right.
It's a little different there too, but the changes.
Complete.
You
changes.
Saw some, but you were outside looking in.
No.
You know, he's now. Outside looking in,
right?
He was inside. Just how things are different. Maybe they're better. Maybe they're not better.
It would be different. It would be different. There definitely was a different style of policing, and our community was completely different back then. And you handled things a lot differently back then. And you were able to, you know, kind of, you know, work things out, and oftentimes facilitate. You know, a solution to some of these issues and problems, and not everyone had to go to jail, but the jail was there for, you know, different offenses, and we were held people, and district attorney and the judges held people accountable. And that's the one thing we're lacking right now is accountability. The judges are not sentencing people to prison, to jail. They're letting people out.
Is it because there's pressures from the state not to do it? Pressures because of the costs associated with it. Pressures because the jail doesn't have space.
So what we tell them is, like, listen, the jail will keep accepting the people that we get sentenced, and then it's up to us to kind of triage. And yes, we only have a limited amount of space, and we do let certain people out early to do sheriff work alternative programs. So if you're a nonviolent offender and you're sentenced to 6 months in jail because this is your, you know, your third DUI, and you're going to your classes, you're doing all your probation terms, everything you need to do, and you want to spend the next 3 months out of custody doing a sheriff's work alternative program where you're working 2 days a week and working off your sentence that way, we can work that out. But it's the chronic offenders, the thieves, the violent acts, those kind of things, the people that are constantly abusing their domestic partners, those people need to be in jail. And we want to hold those people accountable. And they need to sentence these people to jail.
So, since we have a judge up, why isn't that happening? Is it just personal prerogative?
It is. It's we have certain judges that we know that will send people to prison. There's other judges that just kind of look at ways of minimizing sentences, and that's, I think, where the spotlight.
Do they not see the impact?
They
of those
don't. They don't. And they are responsible. And I think that the spotlight needs to be shown a little bit more on our judging and our judicial system. And seeing how they're handling, because our district attorney can do everything right, get the prosecution. Our juries can find people, you know, guilty, and it's up to the judge to sentence. And they could take the recommendation of a probation officer. You know, they do probation reports that do, you know, they do a whole history on someone before they're sentenced, and so they can read that report and take the recommendation. They can listen to the defense attorney, the prosecutor, about what sentence should be. You know, the high, medium, low, whatever it may be. And
and they still pull a wild card?
And sometimes they just do that for no reason other than, you know, we're going to give someone probation. Well, they just violated probation 3 or 4 times. And so you're going to give them another probation grant. How are they going to be successful this time?
Is there dialogue? Or does that tend to go down the really wrong path really
quick?
We do
try to have that dialogue, but I think we're going to be focusing on that this next 4 years. That's one thing I'm going to be looking at, having regular meetings with the presiding judge and talking to them about that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. So what does 4 years look like for you?
Next 4 years are going to be interesting. You know, we've had a really a good run here with our finances, and, you know, our staffing level is getting better. You know, in the correction side of things, it's still, you know, really bad. So we're 20 correctional deputies down right now. So if anyone wants a job out there, please visit HumboldtSheriff.org and look at our sheriff's deputies, correctional jobs that are currently available, because we're looking for some really, really quality people that want to give back.
You don't have to take one of your campaign signs and walk up and down the sidewalk in front of the jail.
Please come to work for us. But you focusing on staffing is going to be our number one priority. But we have to look at our finances right now. The county is in a really difficult spot right now. Again, without closing the books for the last 2 years, and who knows what's going to happen this fiscal year. They're pushing the budget, finalizing the budget till September, October, which is statutorily, I guess, when they have to do it.
Do you just extend your existing? You have 12 or 12 months worth of funding for 15 months, or are you going to?
No,
get...
I think right now we had to cut 10% of our budget in order to submit our budget.
Because
it had to be
10%
of it. It's because of lack of funding. Right now, they said there's only this amount of funding, and we can only afford to fund 90% of your department right now. So we're going to push that 90% through. So we're going to have 10 months. I don't know. We're going to have 10 months worth of funding starting July 1st. And then how they're going to forward the 2 months after that, I'm not sure.
How much overtime do you have budgeted?
We have...
Not that you don't touch it.
No, we have $1.5 million of overtime funded.
Is that...
And that's...
That's not 10%, though, is it?
No, it's not 10%. So 10% of the budget is $5 million. And so we had to cut out of our budget. And so overtime is just a small piece. We have, you know, we have 330 employees that, you know, cast all over, you know, from animal control, the coroner's office, civil division, plus patrol, plus jail. And so we have a lot of different responsibilities. And we acknowledge that it's a $50 million general fund hit by supplying all these public safety needs for the community. But that is our priority right now. And I think when you ask all the citizens out there, you know, what's your number one thing? You know, yes, housing, economy, public safety.
I don't think you have to defend it.
Yes.
But it just, you know, what flexibilities do you have, you know, with the pay increase that happened? Well, okay, right. Your hands are locked on that one. And the retirements that are associated with that, your hands are locked there.
Where do we cut?
Yeah, you got the building you still have to operate. You got the cars. I guess you'd be running the cars a little bit longer than normal. I mean, is that kind of the low-hanging fruit in a situation like this?
Right. So there's some of those things that, you know, there's deferred maintenance that we're going to have to push off. There's things that we scheduled to do this next year that we're not going to be able to afford. There's certain equipment that we're not going to be able to upgrade. As well as, you know, there's right now we have... you know, different shifts where, you know, we have deputies that are sharing cars. And so we have people going out to...
Kind of a hold your breath duct tape.
Right.
For a couple months.
And we're going to see.
And see where life
is. Hopefully they, quote, find the money, you know, in here. But, again, it's tough when the books haven't been closed out.
You got this new potential extension that's there. If that comes through, are those monies set aside, the match that you need for that, or how is that impacted at all by the financial straits that
are you talking about our jail expansion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, theory.
Yes, it will be.
This decade or next.
Right. We did have a meeting with the state fire marshal. It is moving forward. We had to work out some plan issues, and so we hope in the next 2 months we'll have a finalized set of plans.
Oh, really? It's that imminent?
We hope a finalized set of plans. We're going to knock on wood. But yes, we have to impact the general fund on that or our cost plan.
I bet you the old budget's kind of shot on that one, too.
It is.
Because it's been sitting there on the desk so long.
7 years, the cost escalation has gone up $8 million. So a $20 million project is now a $28 million project.
40%.
So, yes. So that's,
I know you're stunned that I could do the math that fast.
I know. Just thinking the same thing. Like, how did you do that?
So every once in a while, I foul one off. Yeah. It's not a base hit. Just fouled it off.
But that's an issue. But it's something.
So the building is built. Do you have staff to stuff in there?
We have a plan to do that. Yes. But one of the things we're going to focus on there is mental health. And, you know, there's going to be mental health beds associated. And so that's going to be really the win for our community.
No, that's not an extension of Semper Virens.
It is not. But we have incarcerated people that have mental health problems. And so when the mentally ill commit crimes, they have to then go to jail. They don't go to Semper Virens. They go to jail. And so while they're in custody, you know, they can receive the mental health treatment that they need, but also be held accountable, you know, to go to court and that kind of thing.
Do you think that would change the population you guys are dealing with once that building's up and that is part of it?
I hope so. I mean, we have to come up with some kind of a solution between the hospitals and Semper Virens when dealing with mental health. You know, Semper Virens, they expanded their beds. They're up to 16 beds. But the hospital is overrun. Our jail is overrun. And Semper Virens is overrun. So what do we do? The community has to come together to have a triage, you know, place where we can triage people with mental health issues and to figure out what's best for them. Is it Semper Virens? Is it the hospital? Is it, you know, some other, you know, facility that could help them get on their feet and get them away from these issues that are happening.
Or an expansion.
Yeah, or jail
some
expansion.
Some of those, yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Well, jail or Semper Virens.
Yeah.
I mean, if that thing got kicked out to 36 beds.
We would fill it.
Yeah.
Easy.
But I think the street would look a little different then, too.
Yes. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So 4 years. You got 4 years, huh? At the end of four you're going to have the new building will be up and occupied.
Yes. Full staffing.
Drugs will probably still be an issue.
Yes.
Will mental health be as prevalent an issue in our area, or do you think that there's some bubbling going on at underground now that's going to start to surface and deal with things a little differently?
So things are boiling over right now, right? Things have to change. Politicians have to pay attention. You know, our hospital is overrun. Semper Virens is overrun. Things need to happen on the
streets
state level.
Are overrun. The neighborhoods
streets,
are overrun.
Businesses. Everyone's dealing with this right now, and I'm tired of being okay with this. I'm tired of walking down the street and seeing people in these mental health crisis and screaming, yelling, doing their thing. And it's just a part of you know, Humboldt County now. And it's not just here. I was in Sacramento. Same thing was happening downtown Sacramento. You go into any major town, it's happening all over. So the state level, what is the state going to do, you know, with their $90 billion surplus to tackle mental health? And so funneling that money to the local hospitals to create their own psychiatric evaluation centers. The state needs to open up one. Something needs to take place to where people need to be stabilized in their mental health crises and get them the assistance they need. I'm hoping that in the next 4 years there will be a better plan because the current plan
kind of
sounds
like it runs counter to what's going on now. Do you think it's going to have to be a linchpin event to cause that? I mean, right now, with all of the political swirling that's going around now, statewide and locally, have you heard anybody say anything about mental health?
Yes, we have heard it. There is talk. There is, you know, the governor did release more money for mental health services in his May revise. So there is people talking about it. It's just, is it going to be a coordinated effort? Is it going to be a real issue? I mean, we have a huge issue in our jail. The incompetent to stand trial. People that have been shown up to court and a judge says, you can't stand trial because of your incompetency due to your mental health issues. Those numbers have gone through the roof.
Percentage-wise?
So we have 30 people, you know, waiting for, you know, to restore to competency within
If you're whacked out, how do you come back?
We have replaced 8 of our cells with mental health beds to restore competency. The state hospital is giving us money to restore competency in our jail right now.
So is that like drying out?
I don't know
thing?
How it does. It's
How do you come back if you're not there?
Through medications, through counseling, through their services.
Okay.
Mental health, they stabilize people to restore them to competency. It doesn't mean that they're totally fixed. It just means they can go to court and they can function in court and they understand what's happening.
So if they get to that point, but they were whacked out when they did whatever it was that they were accused of.
That could be their defense, but, you know, that's a defense for everyone, right? That, you know, and that has committed a crime. So,
and then to turn them back out on the street on probation would seem to me to be kind of circular logic.
We don't want that to happen. So working with mental health, county mental health, our jail mental health, you know, trying to have that holistic approach here is what's really important. That's what we have to do. So
are there any communities that are doing it different that seem to be successful?
What other communities are doing is what we're trying to do now is mobile outreach, getting out to people with clinicians, with caseworkers to try and fix the problem out in the field when you're on your field day.
You mean where they find the drugs?
Where they find the drugs, where they're in crisis, those kind of things. You know, kind of like what the MIST team does with Eureka Police Department. They try and
reaction,
triage.
Dealing with the symptoms rather than the cause.
Right. Absolutely. So we're not getting to the root cause of things of you know, the child abuse issues, the broken homes, the, you know, the early drug, you know, intervention, those kind of things. Yeah, those things, you know, are not necessarily happening. But we're dealing with, you know, we're dealing with the symptoms of society's issues right now.
So everybody's chasing their tail.
And until we get a handle on things.
It's mind-boggling to me, and I don't know how many counties there are in the country.
Yeah.
Okay. That there isn't some county somewhere that's figured something out that could then be implemented across the country to not maybe turn the tide, but reduce the impact of it. I presume every county is dealing with it to some extent. You got this thing that's ubiquitous. Somebody's got to be figuring something out.
Well, let me
just
tell you this much, Brian. We've seen personal responsibility, personal accountability go out the window. And I think if we want to take this country and...
Yeah, it's not my fault the tree moved.
Right. Whatever it may be, right? Yeah. Personal responsibility and holding people accountable is really what's necessary. No matter what the excuse, no matter what the issue comes about, people need to be held accountable and take responsibility for their actions. Until that takes place, our society is not going to change.
You mean Dan Quayle was right?
Dan Quayle?
Character.
Man,
character
wouldn't you want to just have Dan Quayle's gaffes now as opposed to our president's gaffes? My gosh.
And with that, we're out. See you everybody tomorrow.